1 Samuel 11, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Lord, we've heard you, heard your Holy Spirit as you teach. We see the Holy Spirit upon Samuel in his life he's listed as one of the men that prayed and you listened to and answered. Lord, we want to be Spirit-led. You called us to be a house of prayer, and we want to hear that and be a people who prays, and we want to pray where you give these answers. So we ask for the Holy Spirit tonight to teach, instruct, and Lord, that we'd stop paying so much attention to the world and seek your Holy Spirit for what the will of God and kingdom of God is to be in our day. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So 1 Samuel 11 and 12. And like always, I have a lot to say. Maybe sometime I'll figure out how to say more with less words, but until I figure that out, I use more words. So I've entitled tonight, A Pivotal Point. A Pivotal Point. Now, certainly a pivot, if you think about it, is it's a pin in which, if you think of it, well, every board game you ever played that had a spinner had a pivot. But in life, we find the children of Israel having asked for a king. And the reason why I say it's a pivot, it can go one of 360 ways, if you think of it in the degrees of a circle. Granted, I don't think any of us can process 360 different options. But looking at finding Saul, now anointed king, Samuel's life work to turn the people of God back to God and turn them away from idols and to teach them to pray and to obey God. And I think of where we're at and what God has said with us, and even where we're at now in history, I believe we're at a pivot as a church. And what we do from this point, in many ways, will determine the way in which we come out of this pivot that I believe God has set before us. I don't know how many Christians were praying and asking for God to give us, to not give us a certain president and then to give us another one. I don't know. Or many Christians now are saying, I'm so glad that our current president is the current president. I don't know that and measure that. But I see a parallel that when the children of Israel asked for a king, it wasn't exactly the answered prayer that they really needed. They were praying the wrong prayer, so to speak. So my part as we come to tonight is to see this pivotal point, or again, pivotal time, because we can look back and we can learn from what happened, and then we can see how they came through that. Now, I'm just going to be very point blank with each and every one of you in your personal lives, okay? Nobody ever is in the same exact situation as anyone else. So if you are thinking that your counsel and talking to another, if you reach this point, even if you're doing biblical decision making and you come all the way through and you're seeking God. See, what happened for the children of Israel, they decided they would rather seek a king rather than seek God. Give us another to seek. And in all your seeking, my encouragement to you is to seek God and don't search out for counsel along these lines. Well, what did you do? Or this is my situation, what would you do in my situation? And then base your entire decision upon that. Because nobody ever has the exact same circumstances. Because there's way too many factors. This is life. This is a soul. This is me instructing and teaching you to be Spirit-led in all ministry. And we come to this tonight, and we find the children of Israel. After Saul has been anointed king and announced as king, and he went back home. He's back on the farm plowing the field with the oxen. But there were a group of men that went back with him whose hearts God had touched, 10:26. I looked it up last week. I thought it was the same day, but it was 4 or 5 days before last week that was the exact verse in Wisdom for Today. And I'll be straight up honest with us. Okay, God has touched our hearts. Okay, so what is that? Well, there is now a group of people here who are very interested in, right? Very interested in serving God. Very interested in doing His will. Very interested in serving in the kingdom of God. Very interested now in pleasing God. And why I describe it in that way is that sort of sets the place where I believe we got to take heed, or we get to take heed, or we have to, or you have an opportunity to take heed what you hear, how you hear this. We find the children of Israel that Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. Now, in the know, Jabesh-Gilead is on the other side of the Jordan. It's the area where the 2.5 tribes settled and didn't come across into the promised land. Now, we talked a lot about the crossover when we were studying the book of Joshua. The appeal to no longer live the life in the wilderness of a carnal-led life or led by the flesh, but to be Spirit-led, and that encouragement to cross over and be Spirit-led. And we find that the 2.5 tribes that stayed over there, there's the Ammonite, Nahash comes, and the men of Gilead said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us and we will serve thee. Now, when it says that they gathered against them, they brought the whole army and surrounded Jabesh-Gilead. Now, Nahash means serpent. That's the meaning of his name. So I believe the Holy Spirit, just again, you look at this pivotal point for Israel where they've asked for a king. God's touched some of the men's hearts, yet the king isn't reigning. Now, in asking for the king, Samuel took it that they were rejecting him, but God says, no, they're rejecting me as reigning over them. Now, I see a portion of the church, as I've given word to us, that a good portion of the church, if you will, has been surrounded by the enemy. Okay? So in this, you know, his name means serpent, but this type of Satan, our enemy, and immediately we have no record of them crying out to God for any help, but they immediately say to the enemy, make a covenant with us and we will serve thee. In asking for a king, you have this counterfeit, if you will, right? Another king from another nation comes in, and part of the people of God are willing to immediately serve the king. Nahash the Ammonite answered them and says, on this condition I'll make a covenant with you that I may thrust out all your right eyes and lay it for reproach upon all Israel. Now, I study this, I just get stuck on our Lord's words. If your right eye causes you to sin, you pluck it out. Now, to not take this parallel too far and to, you know, me develop like some sort of like what's going on all around us and explain everything, what I see, but let's just keep it in this simple, okay? Everyone is going to know, like these men with their eyes plucked out, and if their right eye is plucked out, they're going to be absolutely useless to fight, okay? And so it's not only is it a reproach, but it's also a way, just this, I just put this in there. What's sin? Well, this is the people of God asking for a, if you will, a ruler of this world, an expert in man's wisdom rather than God's wisdom. Now, that's why I bring up biblical decision-making the way I do it and bringing this forth. And we as a church, we practice this. We practice praying and seeking and asking, and God, what do you want us to be doing? Even when we have like desires and ideas and what are we going to do, it comes through prayer and seeking God. So this king, whose name means serpent, is wanting to be a reproach upon all Israel. Pluck their eyes out. Everybody's going to know the sin. And I just get into the sin. They asked for a king. The elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers unto all the coasts of Israel, and then, if there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. Now, I don't know if you write in your Bible yet, but I do. I write in all my Bibles. And so, over here in your margin, just take your pen out, and then circle no man to save us, and then you write over there, what? Now, here's my word to us. Is there not a God in heaven who hears our prayers, your prayers, in your situation? And I just offer it up. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Even if it's the enemy who's come near whispering in your ear and lying to you, trust me, whenever any Christian sincerely reads, if your right eye causes you to sin, you should pluck it out. Every one of us is like, well, I guess I better do that then. And then Satan's like right there to say, yeah, you should. But you have to understand what the Lord's saying, right? How serious do you take sin to such a point where you, between you and the Lord, would say, okay, Lord, will you forgive me this sin? And even if it means that I no longer go the same place, do the same activities, I got to stop sinning. So the way that reads in Scripture is, which of you has strived against sin to the point of shedding your own blood? That's Hebrews. And you think about where we find the children of Israel, and you have in this pivot, and they're immediately already, in having asked for a king, they're already looking for a man to save. It's an interesting thought. And I've been carrying it for about a week here. Because I sense the Holy Spirit has been talking to us about our hearts, even on Sunday. Shallow heart, thorny heart. And, you know, I'm absolutely convinced what every single person in the whole wide world needs is God's Word. Again, you know, and for the unbelievers, it's like reading somebody else's mail so that they won't catch it until the Spirit of God is in them, and then they can understand. So you must be born again, right? But now I'm talking, and I'm looking at this. This is the people of God, and then the serpent has come to pluck the eyes out of the people of God, and they're not looking to God for help. And it kind of comes down to, why is it that Christians are living like the world? And I think it's answered this way, that the heart, right, being wicked, James, when he writes his first letter, and just gets through the temptation part of where temptation comes from, don't say God's tempting you, but you're drawn away by your own desires, and then when enticed, you sin, and then when sin gives birth, and when sin grows up, it kills you, right? Men of Jabesh Gilead, if I can just connect this, and I cause you to think upon this, and I am causing you to think about this, because then James goes on to say, this is 121, and I'm missing the first part of the verse in my memory. I like it in the King James, because it says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. New King James calls that the overflow of wickedness. So why is it? Why is it for believers that they express the exact same depression, mental health, again, go right down the list of every single thing the world's dealing with, lust, every practice of sin that the world's dealing with, you find it in the church. Why? Well, because the word's not in, but the word can't get in as long as what? All the superfluity of naughtiness, or again, or the overflow of wickedness is still in the heart. So James says, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now, when I frame it in this way of, again, being at a pivotal point, we're going to renew something tonight. So I don't know if we'll get through 11 and 12 as I'm again, once again, talking from the heart. We're going to renew, or if you will, the word for renew is build again, or rebuild, or repair. Okay. So pivotal point here for the children of Israel. Then came the messengers to Gibeah of Saul and told the tidings in the ears of the people, and all the people lifted up their voices and wept. And behold, Saul came after and the herd out of the field, and Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? And they told him the tidings of the man of Jabesh. Now, verse 6, and the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those things, and his anger was kindled greatly. And it's in the same understanding of Samson. Spirit of God came upon him, and in that might, he slew the Philistines. We've studied that in the book of Judges. And his anger was kindled greatly. Now, find your way on over unto the letter to the churches in Revelation and find the letter to the men of Jabesh Gilead. Okay? Now, there isn't a letter to the church of Jabesh Gilead. Just like you would say there's not a letter to the church of, and you can pick any church. But I do believe these letters to the seven churches, it is that everyone can find themselves and every church can hear the Holy Spirit, what he says to the churches, and the Holy Spirit can say, you're that church. Now I'm going to display this to you. This is the church, the last one, to the Laodiceans. Or the church of the men of Jabesh Gilead. And the Lord says, I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I'm rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor, blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy for me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, then anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in to him, will sup with them, and he with me. To him that overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also came and sat down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. So, I think it's in the New King James, it says, I could wish that thou were cold or hot. Now, just back to 1 Samuel 11. Spirit of God comes upon Saul, and he is hot. Okay? We have been conditioned or acclimated to the world that Jesus never was really upset about anything. He could barely carry that lamb around his neck. He was so tender. Okay. Now, Saul gets hot when the Spirit of God comes upon him, if you will. And I'm just going to remind you, genuine church, abhor what is evil, cleave to what is good. So it is very good to be hot over an evil and wicked thing. His anger was kindled greatly. Now you have Ephesians 4, right? Be angry and do not sin, 4:26. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them throughout all the coasts of Israel by the hands of the messengers, saying, whoever so doesn't come forth after Saul and Samuel, so it shall be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell upon the people, and they came out in one consent. So there's a couple of Holy Spirit connecting. Remember the man whose concubine was murdered? And he cuts her in pieces and sends it out and says, in the time of the judges, what's your answer? What should be done? And they all gathered together and ended up almost destroying a tribe. Now, I got that part. But I'm also looking forward because I look at Elisha. Because when Elijah is out in the wilderness and he hears the still small voice of God, and he's given three things to do: to anoint king over Israel, to anoint king over Syria, and to get Elisha, and he is to come and be his servant. And when he finds Elisha, he's out plowing in the field. And immediately Elisha says, well, let me get ready. And Elijah said, well, what do I have to do with you? And Elisha understood when he put the mantle on him that he was to go and serve. Now, I'm looking forward with this. And again, this is a pivotal time for the children of Israel. They have a king anointed, but he has no government. He's still out in the field. Nothing's going on. Again, just like having God as a king and nothing's happening, just like a church saying we're going to follow Jesus Christ and yet they're doing nothing. Okay? Now, why I say it in that context is that's Laodicea. I don't think anything would have bothered them. In fact, it's hard to know that if it bothered all of them that Jesus was on the outside knocking on the door, if you catch what I'm getting at tonight. And I hope that you do. So he takes this yoke of oxen. When Elisha answers the call, you guys listening? He offers the oxen up. He breaks up the yoke and he ends his work in the field and he answers the call and he goes. Now, here's the pivot we're at. And the Holy Spirit has told us not to think that the time frame in which we've entered into, where things maybe seemingly have settled down. You know, if you were looking at the course and path we were on and just the increasing of wickedness in various areas of sin and embracing, and if this next administration gets to continue, and then what are they going to do next, and start to look at this and all the partnerships in the world and start to see, well, the Antichrist is near. Listen, that hasn't changed. So we're not to be in this place now saying, oh, things are great. And why I say it in this context is that's when Nahash came and then a part of the people of God caught by surprise. But in this verse here of 11:7, fear of the Lord fell upon the people. And I just want you to, again, as you write down, that's the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. So when Elisha answers the call, he kills the oxen, offers them up as a sacrifice, and feeds all the people, and he gets up and goes to serve the Lord from that point forward. Now, Elisha's probably best known for, Lord, give me a double portion. That which was upon Elijah, I need the Holy Spirit. Now, again, this is where we're at, right? And this is where we're at looking at Samuel's life. And I remind you, when Samuel prayed, God answered. And as I've talked with us about being Spirit-led in all ministry. So what's happening here for Saul is he's no longer going to be working out in the fields. He's going to answer the call. He's putting that behind him, but he's also, again, angry, Holy Spirit anger, if you can take that in six, and he calls the people of God to give an answer to the serpent who's deceiving a portion of the people of God, that they would let him rule over them. And how does Satan do that now? Well, he's a defeated enemy, yet through deceit, he ends up enslaving people through the things of this world, and a whole bunch of the church is enslaved in sin when they should be free. Fear of the Lord fell upon the people that came out, and when he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000, and the men of Judah 30,000, and they said unto the messengers that came, thus shall you be say unto the men of Jabesh Gilead, tomorrow by the time the sun is hot, you shall have help. Now, I believe the Holy Spirit has shown us as a church that just as we have become a house of prayer, we are to be a house of mercy. That we are to be prepared and ready with mercy for sinners to come and be saved or to be sent, and we can give help. Tomorrow at this time you shall have help. The messengers came, showed it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will come out unto you. So this is their answer to the serpent, to Nahash. Tomorrow we'll come out unto you, and you shall do with all of us which seems good unto you. And it was so on the morrow that Saul put the people in three companies. They came into the midst of the host in the morning watch and slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it came to pass that they which remained were scattered, so that two of them were not left together. So there's victory. And just it pauses there. That's the only description. We don't hear any more about the people, the Ammonites. And then it shifts in 12. Then the people said unto Samuel, again, so when he said, join Saul and Samuel, Samuel's joining him. And the people say unto Samuel, who's he that says, shall Saul reign over us? Bring those men out that they may be put to death. And Saul said, there shall not be a man put to death today, for today the Lord has brought salvation, or wrought salvation in Israel. Then said Samuel to the people, come, let us go to Gilgal, and let us renew the kingdom there. So even though he had been announced as the king, and he went back to the fields and was plowing and working the fields and the herds, he's not enthroned. Now, I don't know if you were paying attention to this, but there was a group who introduced a bill in North Dakota that would state that Jesus is king. Correct? Did anybody pay attention to this stuff? Okay. So the enemies of God get a hold of that and want to mock it and make fun of it. And I just went through and read the whole thing, and I was actually going to share it a few weeks ago, and wasn't for that night. And I'm not really going to talk much about it tonight. But does Jesus not know he's king of the world? And even if, but this mindset that you would have to make him king of North Dakota. So you get this, right? And I hope you understand. Okay? Right? You can say he's king, but if he's not enthroned, likewise, you know, we come to this place And they are going to renew the kingdom. They're going to rebuild back to Gilgal, and they're going to do this again, and Saul is going to be king. And all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal, and there they sacrificed sacrifices of peace offerings, and there Saul and all the men of Israel greatly rejoiced. So he's now king. So as they renew the kingdom, and immediately 12 is on the same day, Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened to you, unto your voice, and all that you said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed, and behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. And so as they renew the kingdom, and Saul's going to be king, Samuel is... he's going to hand this over. It says, Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed, whose ox have I taken, whose ass have I taken, and whom have I defrauded, and whom have I oppressed, or whose hand have I received any bribe, blind my eyes therewith, and I'll restore it to you. And they said, Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken out of any man's hand. And he said unto them, The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, He is witness. And Samuel said unto the people, It is the Lord that advanced Moses and Aaron, and brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord, which he did to you and your fathers. When Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried out unto the Lord, You hear that? Your fathers cried out unto the Lord. The Lord sent Moses and Aaron and brought forth your fathers out of Egypt and made them dwell in this place. And when they forgot the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hetzor, and into the hand of the Philistines, the hand of the Moab, and they fought against them. And they cried unto the Lord and said, We have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord, served Balaam and Ashtoreth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. Now, where do we find the men of Jabesh-Gilead? They were ready to serve the king, and they didn't cry out unto the Lord. Now, in this pivot, at a pivotal time, where previously they had cried out unto the Lord, and the Lord delivered them, they reach a point now where they're looking for help from man. And the Lord sent Zerubbabel, and Bedan, and Jephthah, and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side, and he dwelled safe. And when he saw that Nahash, the king, when ye saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, ye said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord God was your king. Now therefore, behold, the king whom you have chosen, and whom you have desired, and behold, the Lord hath set a king over you. If you will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not the wheat harvest today? And I'll call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that you may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking for a king. And Samuel said unto the people, and the people said unto Samuel, wait, here we go. Verse 18. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And the people said unto Samuel, Pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask for a king. Now you come to this place in this pivot for the children of Israel, that at this point in time, where they had they called upon the Lord, I believe it would have been entirely different for them. But at that point in time, They called out for a king. Now here's how I'm going to apply this for us. We're at the point now, you think of us as a church and what God has done and said with us, and you think of where things are at in the world, and I just remind you, Jesus is very clear. He says, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were of this world, he said, my followers would be fighting right now. Okay? When he was taken captive. And why I say it in this way, now is the time for us, his church, that he says, I will build my church. Now is the time, as he has revived us last year, and now he's called us to serve him. And overwhelmingly, you as the church have said, we will serve God. We will serve in his kingdom. Now, I'm not making this up. Okay? I'm not doing wishful thinking. In fact, you don't know how much more busy you made me by all of you saying, I will serve the Lord. So I'm equipping, right? And in that equipping and that effort, that's what tonight is about. So as we wrap up this chapter, Samuel said to the people, fear not, you have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. And turn ye not aside, for then should you go after vain things which cannot profit you nor deliver you, they are vain. We come all the way through what God did with us last year in revival, and we're revived into this. I'm going to serve God. Some of you are working out the call of your life. What am I going to do with this life? And my answer here, answer the call. Now's the time when you're at this pivot to make those decisions, and you answer yes, and we're going to serve the Lord, and I'm going to serve the Lord in what he's called me to do, and I'm going to learn what that is. And I'm going to walk in his ways. We studied the whole book of Judges for the purpose of not living like unbelievers. To learn not to live like the rest of the unbelievers around us. He says, turn not aside. It's vain and empty. So in all this, if you believe you had answered prayer, that God answered all your prayers to put Trump into the presidency, and that was what you were praying for, tonight's your warning. Okay? And I'm not saying I don't like him. I'm not saying I like his policy. I'm not saying any of that. I'm saying we serve the king. And if we at this point as a church and ministry say, oh, finally all of our prayers answered, this is exactly what we needed for the future, you would be absolutely wrong. Because I'm going to renew this. Bible prophecy hasn't changed. There's an Antichrist coming. Okay? The whole world is going to be against Israel. Okay? I remind you, Israel will be surrounded by the nations that are, well, they're rattling their sabers. Israel will be surrounded in a time, right? Again, and likewise, the rapture of the church comes when everybody's saying peace and safety. See, now's the time to renew prophecy. You could be raptured out at any moment. How do you want to be found? Here's how I want to be found. Serving God. Serving in his kingdom. Doing those things which my master has given me to do. Right? Using the talents that he has given me. Serving God. My stewardship. Right? And all that he has given me. How do I want? I want to be found faithful. And just as I describe that. So a year ago, the word was continue. Continue following the Lord your God. Now I believe that we're at this place now. And I believe this year is about serving. We're to be that house of mercy. And again, I've had it before the Lord in prayer. Are we to do or concentrate our evangelistic efforts just in this city? And the answer to that is no, we must continue going to Valley City, continue going to Jamestown. And then we need to get to Grand Forks, and we got to get back to Wahpeton. and Fargo, West Fargo, Moorhead. I think someone sick was drinking on that one. Pablo's got me. Is that one full? Pablo, I got one. Serve the Lord with all your heart. Hear that in 20? Serve the Lord with all your heart. So every one of you is tempted to do what? Turn aside to the right or to the left. Okay? Or just, finally, things are at ease. I don't have to be concerned about, what. I don't know what you're thinking, but we're at a pivot, and so I'm just reading this. Do you want to follow vanity? 21. I'm not going to follow vanity. The Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it has pleased the Lord to make you his people. And then look at 23. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord by ceasing to pray for you. So even though they're not going to seek the Lord, I don't know what your perspective is, but Samuel shows them. If you had come to the Lord and inquired of the Lord, he would have answered you. And that's the whole miraculous thunder and rain. He basically says, God is going to thunder and rain today. He prays and God does it. And that's where the fear of the Lord came. Now, the witness of the Holy Spirit, again, if you see this, Samuel's calling them witness to the righteousness, right? The conviction of the world, of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Samuel brings in chapter 12 the conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And shows the people of God, had they called out to the Lord, he would have helped you. He would have saved you. Okay. And he says, moreover, I'll keep praying. It'd be a sin for me not to continue. Again, it would be a sin for us to not continue to be a house of prayer, to pray for the lost. Keep praying for that open door into the mosque, praying for Valley City, praying for Jamestown, praying for Wahpeton, praying for Devil's Lake, praying for Grand Forks, praying for Fargo, West Fargo, Moorhead, fulfilling that call, answering that vision. Fulfilling that vision, answering that call. And then in 23, but I will teach you the good and right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth in all your heart. Consider how great things he's done for you. But if you shall do wickedly, you shall be consumed, both you and your king. This isn't God bless America. It's America, now's the time to bless God. And so I put before you, and this is what we're going to renew tonight. I renew to you that we have heard the Holy Spirit. That in May of 2013, he said unto us that we were Sardis. The dead church of Sardis. Church is dead and doesn't know it's dead. It's a working, bustling church, an energetic church. And this is the phrase, that we were the church of Sardis. You have a name, that's your life, but you're dead. So here's what we need to renew. I started renewing it last week, but in the context of rebuilding the kingdom and renewing this. He's the Spirit of the Lord. So the one who has the seven spirits says unto the church, these things saith he that has the seven spirits of God. I know your works, thou hast... And the seven stars. I know your works. Thou hast a name that thou livest, and thou art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Does it sound like the children of Israel in the days of Jabesh Gilead? You asked for a king when you should have called out to the Lord. Now, here's what I want to renew for us. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, is Isaiah 11:2. Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Seven things the Holy Spirit brings in ministry concerning life in the Spirit. He's the Spirit of the Lord. dependence upon God, the Holy Spirit, a practical dependence upon the Holy Spirit, not on talent, but on hard work seeking the Lord. And obeying the Holy Spirit, understanding and wisdom and fear of the Lord. And then this phrase right here, a pivotal point. Okay, so in 2013, we were at a pivot in ministry. Or let me rephrase that correctly. I was at a pivot in ministry as the pastor of the church. However I heard that day with the Holy Spirit was a pivot. Children of Israel had a pivot. Had they heard the warnings not to ask for a king, the Lord God would continue to reign over them. Now we're at a pivot. We come through in many ways, like being revived last year. I watched men called out of darkness into light. I watched lives transform, marriages transform. I watched spiritual healing after spiritual healing. I watched obedience. I watched transformation right before my eyes. Now, this is why I want to renew this. We're at a pivot now. Now, don't think for a moment that all the sickness and trouble that's come into our lives and sickness and people aren't in church and we're out and we're missing and even the warring, like wondering about like getting upset with one another with sickness and all that stuff, that's not stopping the work of God. That is the work of God. You're called upon to forgive one another, love one another, renew your love, and called to be one body and to strengthen those bonds. And if you've gone through trials, you're to come through those trials and you're to be strong in the Lord and with one another. Okay? Now at this pivot, I was at a pivot of being Spirit-filled in all ministry, May of 2013. And that's where we're at as a church right now. We're at a pivot if we are, and you can say it for yourself, I am at a pivot if I am going to be Spirit-filled in all ministry. The witness of the Spirit is worth everything in the church. Now, what did Samuel put on display in chapter 12? The witness of the Holy Spirit that he served God in simplicity, sincerity, truth, righteousness. He served him in holiness, if you will. What do I want to renew for us? That the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of wisdom. Make good, righteous decisions. He's the Spirit of understanding. Discern and see clearly. He is the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. It scares me what I'm capable of. Okay? That should... Every one of us should take that to heart. He's the Spirit of counsel, a course and a plan for the future. He's the Spirit of might, the real power of God. And he is the Spirit of the knowledge of God, to know him, and since both knowledge and fear are related. Now here's what I heard from the Holy Spirit, and this, just renewing this for us. This is what I heard that night in worship when the Holy Spirit started to talk to me about it. Number one, no more life support for ministries and people. I talked with a pastor friend of mine, different denomination, and they've been going at this for 12 years. He says, we're 12 years into this, but our church is 2 years old. I talked with another friend of mine. He said every 2 years we start with a brand new church. So the very phrase that the one guy was talking to says, our church is on life support. So were we in 2013. And now I just say, no more life support for ministries and people. If it is going to happen, it must be by the Holy Spirit. So some of your entire experience here in church is after 2013. I've watched people get married in a matter of weeks as the Lord brings these things together. Last year we had 4 weddings go on. I saw it coming. And just again, as all these things going on, and some of you right now are working out the call, am I called, am I not called? I'm here to let you know, we don't have much more time. It's time to, at this pivot, to listen to the Holy Spirit. No more life support for ministries and people. It's like, if it's gonna die, if it's gonna happen, it must be by the Holy Spirit. If it's gonna die, let it die. I'm okay with that. If some ministry should die, what do you have to know? If you're just keeping it going. Weekly Aftergo meetings on Sunday nights, seeking God's Holy Spirit. Now we have something to renew. But I can't be in two places on Sunday nights. So I've got a problem. So I'm crying out to the Lord for who's going to go up there and faithfully teach the Word of God to the people up there on Sunday night so we can do what here? We can renew 6 p.m. afterglows on Sunday nights and just coming and seeking the Lord. Now's the time to seek Him. Okay? Pass out the book, The Personal Work of the Holy Spirit. So I've done that. And is there anybody here who doesn't have one? You don't have one? Isn't that the one I had you download online? Now, who here is reading the book? So remember when Saul was king and yet he wasn't doing anything? Okay. So what am I renewing for us tonight? Get the church praying. Saturday night men's, Sunday morning, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, preach and teach repentance for the church. You may not have liked the last few years of the harsh line concerning the psychologizing of the faith. You may haven't liked everything I had to say about getting away from man's words and man's philosophies and psychologies. Maybe you don't like that. Well, I don't like bowing down to idols. Okay? Preach and teach repentance for the church. Can the church live? Now, let's see. So that was part one. There's part two. There's part three. There's part four. But part five is what I want to also renew tonight. So this is May of 2019. Does anyone want to talk about the last 5 years with me? Man, this thing's been a mess for people. Right? May of 2019. Be a church that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is what I was hearing from the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to renew that tonight. A church that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. Valley City, Jamestown, West Fargo, Fargo, Moorhead, Grand Forks, Wahpeton. Okay? We've got to preach the gospel. Be a church that's willing to suffer for Jesus Christ. Be a church that serves faithfully as stewards of the mysteries of Christ. Be a church that gives the most effort for the gospel and relies upon God working in and through us. Okay, that's enough to renew and rebuild. So, do you see what needs to happen again? It's not going to work for us to do afterglows after the midweek study. You have that figured out? I have that figured out. We reach this point, it's on Wednesday, you have two more days of work, your kids are in children's ministry, you're already thinking about getting the kids to bed, right? Just middle of the week. And it's just not working. We've got to renew afterglow on Sunday nights. So who knows they're supposed to go to Grand Forks? Right? And say, I will go and teach. Okay. I don't know who that is. I'm praying about a few of you. No women. Because women pastors aren't of the Lord. Right? Even if some of the women want to do it. Nope. So So what am I really renewing for us tonight? We're at a pivot. What I'm really renewing is this. Not that we have to go back in all the past and do all the things. We accomplished a lot of those. We do need to establish regular afterglows. You know what's great about Sunday nights? Everybody who's there came back specifically just to see God, and we can enter into that very quickly. And then we also have lots of time where he can just talk to us and we can worship him and whatever. And we've to have the Holy Spirit. The things we're experiencing in Nehemiah homes, gifts of the Holy Spirit, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophecy. We are a Spirit-filled church, okay? Have always been. It's the Holy Spirit who leads. It's the Holy Spirit who gives will and desire and what are we to be doing in ministry. So what I'd like to renew tonight is at this pivot, and I entitled it A Pivotal Point. So at a pivotal point, the children of Israel chose to rely upon man. Trust me, a good portion of the church during this season is going to rely upon man. Contrary to whatever you may feel, the Holy Spirit has given us a word that this is just like an eye of the storm. It's just calm for a while, but all of the prophecy of perilous times, men falling away from the faith, time of departing, none of that's changed. This is not revival, what you're seeing in the world. Okay? You have to know that. It's just pulling back the other way. So the pivot is this, and you're at a pivot, I'm going to give you the pivot, and this is the pivot, being Spirit-filled in all ministry. Being Spirit-filled in all ministry. Spirit of the Lord, a practical dependence upon the Holy Spirit. Spirit of wisdom and understanding. Spirit of counsel and might. Called upon to stand against all. That's the real might. Counsel. Holy Spirit's our counselor. Okay. Why is the Word of God not seemingly solving all your problems? Well, because out of the heart proceed all these issues. So if the heart has an overflow of wickedness, what do you have to do? Or as the way I told my away team amongst the chaplains in Africa, and their broken English, and some guys were naming their teams, and all I was saying, devil out, Jesus in. And we understood that. We're going to go out amongst people, and we're going to find all kinds of stuff, devil out, Jesus in. How about this? Sin out, Word of God in. Spirit led. It's time. At a pivot. Now, whatever you do out of this pivot will be solely, wholly, totally dependent upon you. Will you be Spirit-led in your decision-making? Remember, the Spirit of God never goes against the Word of God. Do you hear that? If you think the Holy Spirit's commanding you something against the Word of God, that's a different spirit. Okay? So in this pivot, what I'm trying to renew for us as Calvary Chapel Fargo is that we will be Spirit-led in all ministry. So today I know we're going to Valley City and Jamestown this year. I was holding that before the Lord in prayer, and I got my answer today. So plan for June. It's either the 14th or the 21st, that Saturday. I think it's the 21st, but I'll have to look at the dates. It'll get on the church calendar. And we're going to continue to preach the gospel. Okay. So that's what I want to renew. I want to renew afterglows on Sunday nights. Because now more than ever, we need to be Spirit-led in ministry. So, Father in heaven, as they renewed the kingdom, rebuilt, and they had the witness. In fact, this is the witness of the Holy Spirit in church. Here's our witness, Lord. We bear witness to the truth that you called the man out of darkness into light last year, and we had a great transformation. We bear witness to the truth that you have given us the Holy Spirit. You have given us specific things to do, and we've begun them. You even called us to continue. Lord, now you're calling us to serve you, and you're raising up servants. And Lord, I ask tonight that you would raise up servants who are Spirit-led in all ministry. So Lord Jesus, we come tonight, and we remember you in communion. You would teach us to deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow you. Lord, that you died for the sin of the world, and you've called us to be dead to sin with you. Lord, we remember your death. We proclaim your death until you come. We full-on partake of your death. Lord, we full-on partake of your resurrection. Give us the power of the Holy Spirit that we might know you, we might know the fellowship of your sufferings, that we might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Lord, we cry for mercy and repentance for our city, that many would be saved. We want to be your servants in your way, filled with the Holy Spirit, going forth in the power of God to declare sins, and with conviction of the Holy Spirit, your power to save. Jesus, we're looking to you, and we're calling out to you to save our city, Lord, to save our state. Lord, fill us up with your Holy Spirit as we come to communion tonight. And in this pivot, Lord, that we'd come through this carrying the cross, dead to self, alive to you, filled up with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.